The first reading is from Isaiah chapter 9, verses 1 to 7. To us a child is born. Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who were in distress. In the past he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the future he will honor Galilee of the nations, by the way of the sea, beyond the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. And the second reading is from John chapter 14, reading from verses 25 to 31. Jesus comforts his disciples. All this I have spoken while still with you, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. You heard me say, I am going away and coming back to you. If you loved me, you would be glad that I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. I have told you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe. I will not say much more to you, for the Prince of this world is coming. He has no hold over me, but he comes so that the world may learn that I love the Father and do exactly what my Father has commanded me. Come now. Let us leave. Here ends the lessons.
Anybody recognize the photo? Somebody's got a hand up. 10 out of 10. If you want a closer look, although it's smaller, it's on the news sheet. I actually saw this photo in a magazine that Jenny gets called Cumbria. Some of you know that Jenny was born in England, in Windermere, which is now part of Cumbria. And so she gets this magazine, and a couple of months ago, this photo was there. And by that time, I already knew that the Advent series was to be hope, peace, joy, and love in these uncertain times. As we've already heard from Jan and the children, this morning we focus on peace. In the magazine, the heading above the photo was Peace by Peace. The sculptor is Josefina de Vasconcelos. She has that name because she was married a Brazilian. She's actually an English person and has lived much of her life in the Lake District and was a close friend, apparently, of Beatrix Potter. So that's why it's appeared in this Cumbrian magazine. She called the sculpture Reconciliation. And in fact, it is one of four. The one at Coventry Cathedral, the one at Peace Park, in Hiroshima. Now, I was talking earlier. Do you say Hiroshima or do you say Hiroshima? So there's one at Hiroshima or Hiroshima Peace Park. There's one at Stormont Castle in Belfast. And there's one on the site of the Berlin Wall. Marion has already identified there's one in the gardens of Coventry Cathedral. On the night of the 14th of November in 1940, the city of Coventry was devastated by bombs dropped by the Luftwaffe. The cathedral, as well as a fair bit of the city, was burned. The decision to rebuild the cathedral was actually made the next morning. Rebuilding was not to be an act of defiance, but rather a sign of faith, trust, and hope for the future of the world. Shortly after the destruction of the cathedral, the stonemason, a man called Jack Forbes, noticed that two of the charred medieval roof timbers had fallen in the shape of a cross. And he set this cross up in the ruins, and they were later placed on an altar of rubble with the moving words, "Father, forgive." Another cross was fashioned from three medieval nails, and the cross of nails has become a symbol of Coventry's message of reconciliation. Two weeks ago, you may have seen in the Sunday Mail these photos and the story. These are two of the four remaining World War I widows in South Australia. There have been many reenactments and people visiting sacred places and graves in the last few years. The article also reminded readers that 58,132 Australian soldiers were killed in World War I. World War I. The war to end all wars, so it was said at the time. But of course, that has not eventuated. World War II followed, and major ones in Vietnam and Korea. And of course, there's still conflict in Afghanistan, parts of Africa, parts of the Middle East. In a deep breath, what tension now between the United States and China or Russia? And now, the last week, the Middle East. But of course, there's nothing new when we talk of conflicts and wars. The Old Testament books of Judges and Joshua, 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles, have numerous accounts of wars and skirmishes in the lives of the people of Israel. I guess one of the best known of David and Goliath. The Israelites were under attack from the Philistines. The Philistines had this huge man, but young David, with a slingshot, was able to bring an end to him. But when we turn to the prophets, the great prophets, there's a new understanding. John read from Isaiah 9, and I read again a couple of those verses. "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them the light has shined." And then a bit further on, "For a child has been born to us, a son given to us. Authority rests on his shoulders, and he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." A child has been born to us, and so he is named the Prince of Peace. Christians reading this passage saw that Isaiah was looking forward to the coming of the Messiah, who would indeed be the Prince of Peace. And what will this Prince of Peace bring? If we turn over a couple of chapters to Isaiah chapter 11, verses 6 to 9. What happens when the Prince of Peace reigns? The wolf shall live with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the kid. The calf and the lion and the fatling together. And a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze. Their young shall lie down together. The lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put its hand on the adder's den. They will not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Peace. You probably didn't hear all the responses of the children as Jan asked them. If I asked you, what do you understand by peace? I guess many of us would first of all answer, absence of war. But the Hebrew word shalom is much more than just absence of war. It's described as a positive, comprehensive word covering the manifold relationships of daily life and expressing the ideal state of life in Israel. Shalom is described as the normal and proper condition of men and women in relationship with one another, enjoyed most intimately in the family, and extended to others by a covenant, the covenant of peace. And of course, the source of all peace is Yahweh, the Lord God of Israel. And we jump ahead a number of centuries. The announcement to the shepherds of the birth of Jesus. Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth, peace among whom he favours. Peace among whom he favours. Jesus is indeed the Prince of Peace. And we read a small passage from John's Gospel where Jesus says to his disciples, not long before the crucifixion, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives, but my peace I give to you. And Jesus demonstrated this frequently during his earthly life, as he cared for and healed people like the leper, the lame, the blind, the dumb. He conversed with the Samaritan woman at the well, almost to the horror of his disciples. He allowed a woman, possibly a prostitute, with her hair to dry his feet. And Jesus said to her, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Your faith has saved you. Go in peace. After the resurrection, Jesus appeared to his frightened disciples and greeted them with the words, peace be with you. Most of Paul's letters begin with the greeting, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is indeed the Prince of Peace. Yes, sadly we must acknowledge that Jesus' followers have not always walked in peace. In past centuries we can think of events like the Crusades, the Inquisition, and similar examples. In the present century, corruption, sex scandals, the oppression of women, etc., are the examples of Christians falling short. Some of you are using the Advent devotions that have been made available to us, and I noticed this paragraph in yesterday's. The fullness of God's universal peace is still to come. But we can enact what is basic to that peace every day, living by faith in Jesus Christ and loving others, working for reconciliation, justice and peacemaking. I had a rather interesting conversation at the bus stop a couple of weeks ago. There's a man I'd never met before. And he looked at his watch and said, oh, I hope the bus comes on time today. Apparently a few days earlier, the 9:05 bus just didn't come. But we were waiting for the 9:30 bus. So we got into conversation. He asked me what I did, so I said, well, I'm a retired Uniting Church minister. Oh, I'm an agnostic. I was brought up Roman Catholic, but I'm not a Christian today. And then he said a very, very interesting thing. If all you Christians put into practice Jesus' command, love one another, what a different world it would be. If you Christians put into practice that one command of Jesus, love one another as I have loved you, so you shall love one another. What a different world it would be. And the conversation went on, and we actually came to some kind of agreement that Christians and humanitarians could work together in many ways for peace in the world. Peace in these uncertain times. Not just the absence of war overseas, but also our own personal inner peace. Some of the children brought this out with calmness and things like that. In fact, God's peace in our lives brings calmness, safety, and a deep joy of the Spirit that can come from no other source. God's peace is indeed God's gift to us. Prayer, meditation, stillness, quietness. In these ways, we can know the God of peace at work in our inner lives. Towards the end of his letter to the Romans, Paul writes, "Let us then pursue what makes for peace and for mutual upbringing." And we can take those words into our lives in these uncertain times. Let us then pursue what makes for peace, for mutual upbringing. And I want to share with you a meditation from Dorothy McRae McMahon. As I read this meditation, you may like to focus on the photo. You might like to look at it on the notice sheet. You may like to shut your eyes. Just be at peace as I read this. In these days, we are often overwhelmed and distracted by our attempts to prepare for Christmas and all that is involved in this season. We are pressured by all that needs to be done, caught in the tide of gift searches and decisions, sometimes anxious about the cost of it all. We are often flurried in trying to think what we have missed and who is needing our attention and care. On this day, let us commit ourselves to pause, to rest for a time, to be aware of what we are doing to ourselves and to enter a time of peaceful reflection. Let us allow this space, this place, to offer its care to us, restful in its quiet, away from the hustle and bustle of our everyday life. In a few moments of quietness, let us lay down our list of things to do, our concerns and matters for decision, believing that to do this is to invite greater clarity and new energy later. We are not alone. The candle of peace reminds us that all sorts of people around the world long for peace. We pray for peace in these days, personal peace and peace for the world. Let us stay in the silence and reflect on ways in which we long for peace. Let us be open to insights about the creation of peace around us and within us at this time.